Welcome to Things I Wish I Knew, the podcast from Thinking Faith, a work of the Jesuits in Britain. I'm Julia, I'm in my early 30s, and I used to live in a Jesuit young adult community. We all live hectic lives and often don't get time to reflect on what's happening both to us and around us. This podcast is meant to help you take a moment to stop and think about where you are, where you're going, and where your relationship with God fits into it all. Every week, I meet a new guest who tells me about something they experienced which changed their life forever. And by talking about the things they wish they'd known, we'll explore the idea that God is in all things. And we'll talk about the part that faith plays in navigating life's challenges. Today, I'm speaking to Susan, who works in communications and is a freelance writer. She used to study in Nottingham and lives there now. She speaks about friendship and boundaries. I really love talking to Susan because she reminds me the importance of communicating boundaries, even in a friendship. So, Susan, what drew you to Nottingham?
I have a bit of a funny history of Nottingham. So I was born in Nottingham and we moved back to Ghana, but my godparents live there. So it's a city that I've been to a few times. And growing up in Brighton, it was not very diverse. So I wanted to pick a university city that was more culturally diverse. So yeah, that was like the main reason that I ended up going to Nottingham.
And so how did it feel once you got there?
I loved it. I think it's such a big city. It feels so much bigger than Brighton. And it was just, the Midlands is just so different from the South in so many ways. So yeah, it was, yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Was it easy to make friends?
No, I think everyone says that in your 20s and university is like the best time of your life and you're going to make so many friends. And I think I still think I was like quite like a shell of myself when I got to university. So I think that I just stuck to the people who were just physically close to me rather than actively trying to make friends. And I moved to Nottingham because I thought, there's a lot more diversity. I'm going to make black friends. I'm going to meet a lot of black people. But my course was still very white. So I didn't really make a lot of friends until I'd say my final year. So I did a year abroad in France in my third year. And then when I came back, everyone I knew had left. So it kind of forced me to like actually have to look for community. So I'd say that was the year when I actually started to make friends.
I was kind of intrigued by that because one of my best friends now, she went off and did a year at in France and Spain, she moved. And then she came back and she had a similar like experience. And actually, I was the year below her until then. So then we ended up being final year together. And that's when our friendship really formed.
Right.
Is that how you kind of made friends or was it just?
Yeah. So I think a lot of it was to do with the year abroad. So I ended up in a village in France that was really, it was just in the middle of nowhere. And it forced me to, and I was also teaching. So I became a lot more confident after that year. And so I think coming back, I just had like a better sense of self. I think that really helped. Like one of my good friends now was someone I sat next to in a politics lecture and just started talking to my final year in the first week back. And I don't think that's something I would have really done before.
Do you think that kind of sense of self is something that people need to gain in order to make friends?
Oh, that's a good question. Not necessarily. I think I have a better understanding of myself and I accept myself more because of my friends, to be honest. So I don't think it's necessarily something that you have to have before. But I do think the advantage of being accepting of yourself is that you're more likely to attract people who are really your people rather than pretending to be someone else and then might end up with people that are not really people that you would actually really gel with.
So that is really interesting because I remember when I was much younger, my mum talking to me about when you go off to school, you make friends with the people that are at school and you might not have that much in common with them.
Right.
You're just in the same location because you're all going to school together. But then when you get to university, you can kind of filter down and you can find people that you have more in common with, and then they become your friends and those friendships become closer. I guess one of the things that I'm always thinking about is in this podcast is there always seems to be drawing out of people wanting to find community and that real need in humanity. Did you find your sense of community in your final year?
I was starting to. So final year was still quite tough for me in terms of my mental health. So I still struggled with, I have OCD, and I think that was the year, that might have been the year I was formally diagnosed and was struggling with depression. But I was starting to, and my church was a huge factor in that. So before I'd been going to a church that was just the church that a lot of people in CU were going to, and they had like a free bus there, so I just didn't do a church search. So when I came back and I actually started looking for churches, the church that I ended up going to, which is the church I go to now, was the church where I actually started to make friends. A lot of my friends in final year were actually international students, ironically. So I think it was, we still keep in touch, but it was, yeah, it was harder to actually like form those connections knowing that people are going to go back home.
I guess you're one of those people that's got little bits of their hearts all over the world.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
So did you find university kind of a lonely time?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. It's hard to say now because there were so many parts of it that were so great. I loved my course. I did student radio and I loved that. I did student journalism. That was so fun. And I do still have one or two friends from that time. But I think the day-to-day of it felt lonely. And it felt like I had people that I'd see in lectures and people I'd see on Sunday, but it didn't feel like I was doing life with people. And then I think that feeling was also was magnified by the stuff that I was dealing with personally as well, which made it feel lonelier.
So did loneliness teach you anything about friendship and faith?
Yeah, so I'd say the time where I really had to grapple with loneliness was probably after university, because I think even at university with the day to day, you're still surrounded by people and you're still surrounded by people your age. There's still opportunities to connect with people, even if it is superficial, it's still, you still value those connections. When I left university and moved back to Brighton, I just really felt like isolated. I had maybe one or two friends from back home, but I didn't realize how intense loneliness could feel. I had days where I just felt like I was going crazy because it just felt like I was talking to myself and really had no one to talk to. And that experience, I think, made my relationship with Jesus feel very real, because I think that's when I started to understand what it is to talk to Jesus all the time, because I was in my head all the time. And then in hindsight now, I'm like, I was praying, but I was just talking to Jesus all of the time about everything. And it felt like I had no one else to talk to. And I understood what it was to have Jesus with you at your lowest and in the valley, and what that actually looks like on a day to day, and what it feels like to have Jesus very close, speaking to you and actually feeling held by God. So I think that's what it taught me about my faith. What it taught me about friendships, I think actually the importance of having deep friendships, because even at university, you have these, I say superficial, but that's not, I don't mean that in a bad way. Because if I wanted to, for example, I did the film show on student radio. And so there were always people who were down to like go to the cinema and watch a film. So I used to have people to like do things with in that sense. And I really valued that. But actually being lonely taught me that you need people who will be with you in the valley. And when you feel really low, you need people who really know you so that you feel very held. Yeah, I think loneliness probably taught me that, if that makes sense.
That absolutely does make sense. And I get what you mean about you need to have that kind of fun friend so that sometimes you can just like switch off.
For sure.
And just go do something fun, like go to the cinema or something else social that people do. Go to the cinema or the theatre or something like that. So how did your friendship with Jesus shape how you related to others then?
I'd say I learned in that season that Jesus is my friend. And the way in which he has been my friend taught me what friendship should look like. So I spoke about feeling very held by Jesus, feeling literally encouraged by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also felt very real in the sense of what it is to be nudged by the Holy Spirit, convicted by the Holy Spirit. I felt what it is to go to Jesus to hear truth about yourself when you're filling your mind with lies. And I think now those are all things that I think a good friend should be to others. Yeah.
So after your time in Brighton, you went back to Nottingham. Were you like drawn back to Nottingham, or did it just feel like I'm not in the right place in Brighton, so I need to go somewhere else?
Yeah. So I definitely told myself I want to go back to Nottingham. I think it's just because it was the last place I'd been where I was starting to make friends. And so one of my best friends is in Nottingham and was there at the time. So I thought, yeah, I want to go back. So when I was applying for jobs, I wanted a remote job that would mean I could live anywhere. And so, yeah, that's why I went back, and I went back to my church. And then, yeah, went from there.
And was it what you were expecting?
Yeah, I think it exceeded my expectations in terms of how I found community. But yeah, I don't know if I had many expectations in the sense of I just knew I had to leave. I knew I had to go. And moving out of home was just, it's just a time where I just really became my own person. And I feel like I really grew up. But I don't know if I was expecting that to happen. But yeah, I just knew I had to go.
Mm. Do you have any top tips on how to make friends, or how do you personally make friends?
Yeah, I'd say you really have to put yourself out there. It can feel very cringe to feel like, oh, I want to make friends. But I learned that a lot of people feel that way, and there's nothing wrong with that. First year of uni really teaches you that, because nobody knows anyone. And so walking around Freshers Week, you just have conversations with absolutely anyone, because you have to, because nobody knows anyone. So, but I think that's good. So I think you do have to put yourself out there. When I moved back to my church, like I said, I had one really good friend, but she wasn't always around. So I couldn't like hold on to her. So I joined teams at church. And whenever there was an invitation to do anything social at that time, I would say yes. And that was just a way to meet all kinds of people. So I think you have to put yourself out there. Another thing I would say is you shouldn't have expectations on the type of person you think you're going to be friends with, because you just don't know. You just don't know who you're going to connect with. And I think you have to be quite open-minded. So one thing I'd say that I did well was not thinking, oh, I don't know if I'll really get on with that kind of person, if I'd get an invite to do something or to like go to the park or whatever. I'd just go and just see. And yeah, you just leave and you have some great conversations with people. And I look at my friends now, and yes, we have things in common, but we're also really different in a lot of ways. And yeah, I think that's great. So
I think that's a great thing in terms of it helps you develop and grow. If you've got people around you who aren't copies of you, then
exactly.
They have different views, different attitudes, changes who you are and challenges you. Why do you think making friends in young adulthood is hard?
I think it's hard, especially after, if you go to university or after school, because you're not around as many people your age. everyone's trying to figure life out and everyone's really busy. I saw a stat that a lot of millennials have full-time jobs and are doing side hustles. We're really busy. So I think what ends up happening is even with the friends that you do have, or the connections you might have made at school and university, you'll be meeting up with people to say have dinners or go for coffee and you're like catching up with them, but you're not really making new memories with people. So I think you can end up in the year having multiple catch-ups with people but not really going deep. So I think it's hard because you aren't meeting new people after university or after school, and then it's hard because you might not have the space in your life to also go deep. And so I think a lot of people have superficial connections with people and aren't necessarily deeply known by people. And I think also, actually, a conversation I had with a friend, it took her a while to realize that she didn't really have, she wasn't deeply known by people because there's just so much going on with life. But yeah, it is hard. It is hard to meet people now.
And that's so true. I've heard things of like people of generations above us, they would make friends at certain time periods in their lives. So like they would make friends at university and then that would be great. They'd have a really great friendship at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But then that friendship would naturally end when they moved away or they got married, had children, etc. But actually the expectation on our generation and generations below us as well is because of things like social media and WhatsApp and etc. that we're always pressured to stay in contact with all the people we've ever known,
right,
and keep up this multiple levels of friendship. So it's not like one or two people, it's like 200 people. Maybe 200 is an exaggeration, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's just this expectation that you can't let friendships go. You've got to like keep working at them. And so then you end up not having one dinner with one person and go deeper. You end up having a need to have like 10 dinners over a year with 10 different people, and you just haven't got the energy to put into it in the same way.
No, exactly. Yeah.
So have you learned anything about like having to set boundaries in friendships?
Yes, I'd say, like I said, like when I moved and was open to hanging out with everyone because I kind of felt like I had to actually meet people, that was great. But then it started to, you can then start to feel what you're saying about the pressure to maintain connections with people. So I had this thing where I'd like try and check in with people once a week, but when that's quite a few people, it gets quite intense. And then also then people have that expectation that you're going to sustain that, and so in trying to do that you can start to feel burnt out. You can also, I think for me, because I was really trying to make deep connections with people, I don't know if I felt pressure to, but maybe overshare sometimes, or when people would be telling me a lot about what they've gone through, you want to create that space for people. But then you can, I don't know, if like feel the pressure to become that person for everyone. And it's just not possible to do that. So I think I had to learn how to, I don't know if it's like just dial back on the frequency at which I was like trying to keep up with a lot of people. Because yeah, I realized I was trying to like have coffees with everyone and I hadn't seen my best friend in a while. So yeah, I think I had to learn, okay, who is it? Who are the people who pour into me on that level, who I also want to pour into on that level? And who are the other people who I still want to have friendship with, and they're part of my community? But just understanding that I can't give a certain amount of my time, and having to communicate that is something that I had to learn how to do.
Have you ever had to step away from a friendship?
Yeah, I've had to step back from a friendship. I think that probably came down to maybe miscommunication on what our expectations of friendship were, because I think this was a friendship that I emotionally poured a lot into, and I thought that the other person was doing the same. Then I learned that they weren't. I think that was really hurtful, And I think that doesn't necessarily mean in all situations like that, if there is a miscommunication, that you have to step away. But I think if you communicate that and the other person's just not willing or not able to match the level of investment, then it is something that you have to step back from. I have this analogy from, it's from Lisa Turkus. I didn't come up with this. It's talking about boundaries, and she's saying that boundaries have different levels. So basically, if you have level 10 access to me, then you have access to my entire life, or as much of it as I would give to anyone who has level 10 access. But that comes with level 10 responsibility and how you deal with that. But sometimes people display level 4 responsibility, and so you have to lower the access to level 4. So it's not necessarily that they're cut off, but it's just understanding that actually, for whatever reason, that person isn't able to give you level 10 responsibility. And so you do have to just lower the access.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Like, I have definitely had friendships like that where I've given them the level 10 and then realized, like, actually, no, this is a level 2, 3, 4 relationship. Yeah. How do you communicate that to people?
In that situation, I literally communicated it, not with the analogy, but more or less that I was hurt. And yeah, that it wasn't that I was going to cut off the friendship, but that they probably would sense a shift. And I think maybe younger Susan would have just pulled back and just not said anything. But I think, yeah, it was important for me to just literally have to say it like that, and they understood, and we're still friends now, so it's just not the same.
And I mean, that sounds a challenge in itself. Sometimes when I've had to step away from friendships, it's been for my own, like, my own mental health,
right?
To, like, because I realize if I'm not getting that effort into the friendship, it's taking a lot from me. But I think something people don't realize from it is actually stepping away from a friendship can be as hard as, like, a breakup.
Yeah.
And can hurt as much.
It was really painful. Yeah, it was that was extremely painful, because, like I said, it was one of my closest friends. So it was an adjustment. But I think it's like what you were saying. I learned that actually it was also painful being in that kind of dynamic, and I had to reset that, because I think before I probably would have stuck it out for the sake of just feeling like I didn't have friends, and so I had to just pour into people. But it was actually a recognition that even if you don't have people around you, there is a certain, the way that God treats us and the way that he sees and values us, I think it does help us in terms of how we value ourselves and the treatment that, or the relationships that we deserve, and what that should look like on both sides. And actually, it's okay to step back, and God does bring the right people to you. So yeah, it felt like, I think stepping back from it, it felt like, is this going to be a hole in my, it really felt like, is this going to be a hole in my life that no one's going to be able to fill? But that has not turned out to be the case.
I definitely would agree with that as well. So if you've got someone who's level 10 or level 8 and that's communicated and going well, how do you be a good friend?
I think you have to be willing to hold space for not just the great time. So we were talking about friends who are like the fun friend. I think all of my close friends are also my fun friends, but I think it's recognizing that life is not always like that. And actually, yeah, I think it's just being willing to, firstly, actually, this is one thing, be inconvenienced sometimes, because that is the price that is the cost, I should say, of having close friends. It's that sometimes you might have to be a bit inconvenienced to really show up and be there for people when things are going well and when things are not going well, or when people just need support practically, people just need to be heard because they just need to rant. With those level 10 friends, yeah, it's, I think you have to be willing to to be that for other people. I think there's also a level of honesty, transparency, and accountability that you have to be willing to have and be to others, because I think with your closest friends, in order to have that kind of intimacy with people, you need to be able to really hold people accountable. You need to be willing to have that the other way, because I think that Jesus shows us that we're there to encourage our friends, but also to convict our friends with the truth.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say that, because I'm taken back to a time in my life where I would say I wasn't a very good friend, in that I was going through something particularly, a bad breakup, I would say. And I kept that all to myself and then told my friends about it after, like months after. Mm. And they were like, why did you not reach out to us? Like, why did you not do this? And then a few months later, they had that, like, one particular friend lost both her grandparents particularly, like, quickly. And she didn't reach out. It was the next time I saw her that she told me. And I remember feeling quite, like, hurt in that moment. Right. Like, she hadn't told me. And now it's in this moment that I'm realizing I didn't demonstrate good friendship myself by not reaching out to her when I was going through something, that maybe that meant she didn't feel like she could reach out to me.
Yeah.
And that, yeah.
That really resonates, because a similar thing happened. So I was in a bad relationship, and some of my friends were quite close to that situation, but I kept some people out and told them about it afterwards. I actually had a conversation with a friend. I think she was really shocked by what was happening and the fact that I hadn't said anything to her. I think I did feel embarrassed when I was in that relationship about some of the things that were happening. And so I didn't feel like I could tell quite a few people about it. One of my best friends always says that you need friends who can see your dirty laundry. And it's that actually it can feel, I'll use the word embarrassed because that's how I felt. It can feel embarrassing, but I think it's also tied to feeling that you won't be accepted if people see the truth of your life and your choices and your weaknesses. And for me, my insecurities, I had, and I still do have, a lot of insecurities, and I was really embarrassed to show that to people. But I think we have to be willing to bring some people in on that, because I needed people to tell me the truth lovingly. I needed people who, and I've learned that since, actually, no, these people love you and will still be here and won't judge you. But because they love you, they will give you good advice and they will tell you the truth. And that's what Jesus does for us. I think my friends really have demonstrated that. So yeah, I do. I really resonated with that.
It's true that a good friendship can show you the friendship that you have with Jesus as well.
Yeah.
So how do you stay in touch with people so that you can continue that friendship?
Yeah, so I love a voice note.
Me too.
I do. There is no shame. Okay, voice notes are a big thing for me because life is so busy and no one is seeing anyone until the weekend. I mean, for me at least. So voice notes are my way to bring my friends in on my day-to-day life. So I don't voice note everyone.
Do you have your own podcast with your voice note?
Yes, I do. And I call it a podcast sometimes, because sometimes they are 30 minutes long. And it is a way of just keeping in touch with the day-to-day. I was actually just thinking about this now because I was listening to a friend's voice note this morning, and she normally voice notes me in the car. And there are so many things I would never know about. She doesn't live in Nottingham. She lives in Birmingham. And there's so many things I would never know about the kind of person she is. Mm. But you hear so much just by her, like, monologue in the car. And I'm just like, people don't get this kind of insight, you know? And you don't live near me, so I wouldn't know these kind of details. And it is the tiny details about your close friends that make you feel close to them. So I think that is, personally for me, a huge way of keeping in touch with people. And then I have friends who live overseas. Every 6 months, we'll do a long phone call or a long, like, FaceTime, and we'll just catch up on, like, what's been happening for the first half of the year for you, kind of thing, because you can be on socials and see people's what's going on, what they post, and think that you are up to date. So it can make you feel like you're connected, but people post whatever they want to, or they don't post at all, and you just don't really know.
And generally people post their like happy best moments.
Exactly.
So then you don't see the reality of their life, of like the tough moments.
Yeah.
Because I remember I had a friend who traveled to China, and I saw her like post on Instagram. She looked like she was having a great time. And then I direct messaged her and I said, oh, it looks like you're having great. And then she was like, this is going wrong, that's going wrong, blah, blah, blah. And she gave me like the whole picture, which you never would have got just looking at social media.
No, exactly. Yeah, I've literally had that and been like, oh my goodness, I did not know you were going through that.
So what do you wish you knew about friendship and boundaries before you went to university?
I wish I knew that Jesus has friends for me and he wants to bring community around me, because I look at who I am now and I think a huge way in which he has developed me as a person and grown my faith is through my community. And I think in the loneliest of times, I really believe that this might be it, and maybe this is how it's going to be in my life. And I think if I had known that it's not God's intention for me to be alone, it might have comforted me more knowing that it's going to happen, because it felt like it wasn't going to happen.
I really love that image that like God's already kind of chosen your friends for you. Right. But it might not be in this immediate moment. It might take some time, but it's there. Yeah. He's got it already. So what are you most grateful for?
My friends. I am. No, genuinely. Even recently, I broke my finger.
I was waiting for it to come up.
Yeah. I broke my finger and I was texting my friend because I was in a walking center. I'd never been in one before. So I was like, this is not going to take long. And she was like, you're going to be there all evening. I mean, thankfully I wasn't. Favor of the Lord. But yeah, she was literally on her way to come and keep me company for the rest of the evening. And yeah, I'm just so grateful for my community of friends.
And they're the reason you ended up at the walk-in center, right?
Yes, because I actually thought that it was fine and it was sprained. And I took a picture and sent it to my friend and she said, it's definitely broken. You need to call 111. I thought everyone was overreacting, but yeah, no, it is broken.
Well, that's a sign of a good friendship that people encourage you to,
exactly,
to go.
Truth.
Thanks for listening to Things I Wish I Knew. I know this episode is going to stay with me because the way that Susan shared about how her friendship should reflect her friendship with Jesus, and I think that's something I need to do more in my life. How about you? We'd love to hear how Susan's story resonated with you, and why not also tell us if you're facing an experience you wish you knew how to look at differently. It might just be something we can help with. You can find out more about this theme and others at thinkingfaith.org. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you'll join me next time on Things I Wish I Knew.